Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being with us at Appleby this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Renda Sabal, and I'm honored to be here today. This is the last installment of what I like to call Amateur Hour. Reverend Allen is scheduled to be back here next Sunday, hopefully refreshed after his well-deserved vacation. There are some announcements in the bulletin that I'd like to bring to your attention. There are still some items needed for Vacation Bible Camp. I think two Sundays are still blank for who is going to serve lemonade on the lawn, so please sign up. And the One Burlington Festival, which takes place on the Monday of the long weekend, the civic holiday, down in front of the library at Central Park, is a celebration of the multitude of faiths here in Burlington. And I did drop in one year, and it was fun. There were a lot of presentations and good food, so hopefully you can attend. Sad news is Iona Kelly is in Carpenter Hospice, I was informed this morning, so please keep the Kelly family in your thoughts and prayers. We light the Christ candle to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, helps us through the times of darkness. Call to worship is in the bulletin. Your steadfast love, O God, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Righteousness is like the mountains, O God. Your judgments are like the great deep. All living things you save. How precious is your steadfast love, O God, all people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light do we see light. Let us pray in unison. Gracious One, we give you thanks for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you forgive us and give us power to begin anew. Therefore, we pray that you will come to us and touch those secret places in our lives that we most need to change. Tear down the barriers that keep us from loving others. Root out all violence from our lives. Free us from dependency on any person or thing or substance, that we may place our full trust in you. Instill us with discipline to establish new habits. Teach us to care for our bodies. Prune away the dead leaves of our lives. Through your creative power, may new shoots come forth from the barren stem. Bring forth new life with us through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next hymn is Voices United, number 371, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free.
Prayer of thanksgiving and confession. In the safety, security, and loving kindness of this community, we acknowledge the ways in which we have fallen short of your calling.
We claim to be your
children, yet act as if we are distant relatives. We claim to be a family, yet we treat our neighbors as strangers. We claim to be peacemakers, but sabotage those who work for reconciliation. We claim to be forgiving, but prefer to hold a grudge. We claim to care, but behave with indifference. We claim to speak on your behalf, but we use bitter and unkind words. If you, our God, were to hold us accountable for all our wrongdoings, it would be impossible for us to stand under the weight of grief and anguish. But this is not our fate, for you hold out your hand in forgiveness and invite us to wash away our wrong, our grief, our anguish, and to live as redeemed people. Thank you for such steadfast love, for such unending kindness. We are truly grateful. Our responsive reading is Psalm 91, Voices United, page 807. We will do a sung refrain, and hopefully Ian will play it once before we start. Dwell in the shelter of your God, who abide in God's shadow for life. To your God,
my refuge.
The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear.
Under God's wings, your refuge, God's faithfulness, your shield.
And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, hear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. For to the angels is given a command to guard you in all your ways.
Amen.
Because they have set their love upon me, I will deliver them. When they call to me, I will answer. I will rescue and bring them to honor.
With long life I will satisfy them and show them my saving power.
And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun.
Thank you to Mary for doing our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 26. And I'm reading from the New Revised, New Bible, Standard Version. It's on page 586 if you want to read it in your Bible. And here is Proverbs 3. Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding, for her income is better than silver and her revenue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. God's wisdom in creation. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. And the true security. My child, do not let these escape from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and prudence, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the storm that strikes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. May the Lord bless this reading to our understanding.
The title of the meditation today is Act Your Age or Not. I think you'll find after I'm finished with the meditation that maybe there's a small amount of the readings or the hymns that actually fit or go with the meditation. Normally I try to be more discerning in what readings go with what, but I was away for 3 weeks, and when I came back, Virginia was getting ready to go away, and the temp canceled at the last minute, so we had to recycle almost a whole service from a previous year and then fit in the meditation. But hopefully you will enjoy all the hymns because they're some of my favorites, and I repeat many of them year after year anyway. Since I started participating in summer worship services more than 20 years ago, I have tried to come up with interesting topics for the meditation. Far from being a biblical scholar, my emphasis has been on subjects that provide food for thought. Often it is something that is happening in my own life or that of someone close to me that gives me an idea of what to talk about. It is sometimes possible to link the topic to a biblical theme or to something Jesus taught, but more often than not, my ideas deal with our day-to-day efforts to live a good and meaningful life, hopefully in a Christian context. This year, as usual, the inspiration for the topic came out of the blue, during a hike, not while I was staring at a computer screen. Steve and I were attempting a difficult hike to the peak of a mountain in a Quebec provincial park. The Quebecois call their provincial parks Parc National, in the same vein as they call their provincial parliament the National Assembly. So it was a little confusing sometimes when you went to a Parc National to know whether it was federal or provincial. Here we were in the beautiful region of Charlevoix, on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River, east of Quebec City. Steve had done a bit of reading about the trails in this park and had suggested one in particular that had received rave reviews from hikers. The estimated completion time was 4 to 6 hours, and we knew that we, being slow hikers, would be lucky to finish in 6 hours, so we allowed ourselves more than 7 hours. We had to catch the last shuttle from the trailhead, so there was a time limit other than darkness. It didn't take long for us to notice that we appeared to be the oldest people on this trail. It was many hours before we saw a couple that could have been close to our ages. After about an hour of hiking, or a bit more, Steve declared that he was confident we would make it to the top. I agreed with him, since I was feeling great and enjoying the hike tremendously. I loved the steady ascent over moderate-sized rocks that formed a natural staircase, and the creek that was flowing near the trail with numerous beautiful waterfalls. I was thankful that our new insect repellent was keeping the mosquitoes at least a foot away from skin and clothing. I thought to myself, so what if everyone else is younger than we are and going at much faster pace? Just because we are over 60 doesn't mean we should avoid difficult hikes. It's not as if this is our first hike and we are totally unequipped. We had bought poles and they were proving to be helpful. When we reached the first lookout, we took a short break and contemplated the beauty of nature. I believe that's the picture we took. I'm pretty sure that's the picture we took from that lookout. To make a long story short, we did not succeed in our quest to reach the top. It turned out that the black flies, which replaced the mosquitoes shortly after our break, did not stay a foot away. In fact, they managed to get in my eyes, nose, and mouth, and to inflict some nasty bites on Steve and me. We persevered nevertheless, although much slowed down by fighting the black flies, thinking that as the vegetation changed to subarctic, which it was supposed to, the bugs would subside. Unfortunately, no such luck. We eventually came to the realization that we had to head back down the mountain if we wanted to catch the last shuttle to the parking lot, which was 5 kilometers away. To say I was frustrated is an understatement. We had battled these diabolical insects for over 2 hours, finding ourselves about 100 vertical meters short of reaching the peak. We had climbed about 700 vertical meters, and we now faced the prospect of going down the trail, still accompanied by our tormentors. Near the bottom of the trail, we were joined by a park ranger, a young woman whose job it was to go down last, making sure that everyone left the trail safely. In my not-so-fluent French, I attempted to describe what happened, switching to English when I couldn't find the words. In her not-so-fluent English, she told us that we had done well to make it that high. Black flies were the worst they had been in 10 years, she said, and this year she had been forced into using insect repellent for the very first time. It didn't take us long to change our attitude from that of defeat, we didn't make it to the top, to that of accomplishment. We hiked on mountain trail for 7 hours while battling black flies for more than half the time. We were pretty much the oldest ones there, and we suffered no more than a few bites and some sore muscles. It was that line of thought, the positive attitude, that got me thinking about today's topic. You must have heard the saying, act your age. What does that mean exactly? And to whom does it apply? Maybe a teenager having a tantrum like a three-year-old. Maybe a grandma of a certain age dressed in a decidedly non-grandmotherly outfit. Maybe an old person like me, who is by no means an athlete, daring to go on a long, difficult hike, or having taken up soccer at age 52. Let's take a couple of minutes and think of good and not so good attributes we associate with different age groups. So I would like your help here, but please yell it out so I can hear. As you know, I'm half deaf. How about young children? What attributes do we associate with young children?
Impatience.
Sorry?
Impatience,
okay.
Energy.
Impulsive. Okay. Compulsive. Impulsive or impulsive? Okay, maybe. Okay, I need good stuff. Good stuff. This is what I have. Curious and inquisitive. Trusting. Able to feel a sense of awe. Playful. Full of energy, somebody said. Won't take no for an answer, which sometimes lead to temper tantrums. How about teenagers?
Willful.
Willful.
iPhones.
Sorry?
iPhones.
Okay, everybody heard about me. All right. Sorry?
Idealistic.
Okay.
Fearless.
Anything else? Anything else? Yeah, I had no. So this is what I had. Streetwise, energetic, lazy, because they can be energetic, but sometimes we think they're lazy because they act that way. Jaded, helpful, can be. Know-it-all, sometimes irresponsible. All right, what are things we associate with 20 and 30-somethings? Okay.
Responsible.
Sorry?
Responsible.
Okay. It can be. Especially compared to teenagers.
Historically challenged. Hardworking.
Hardworking, very true. I had busy, stressed, confident, impatient sometimes, and open-minded. So I mixed the good and the not so good, whatever came to mind. How about 40 and 50 somethings? This way you don't have to stretch your memory too far to get to that. Any ideas?
Busy.
Sorry?
Very busy.
Okay.
Harry.
All right.
Self-confident.
Yes.
Hardworking.
Yes. This is what I had. Somebody said hardworking. I wrote workaholic because it could happen to many people that age. Mature, hopefully. Sensible. Responsible. And yes, sometimes still very busy, especially in the 40s. 60 plus, I've mixed it all up. I know a 65-year-old and a 95-year-old may have not have so many things in common, but I didn't want to start chopping up the ages too much. So, so-called seniors or golden agers, as sometimes they're called. What do we think? What comes to mind to describe this group?
Lucky.
Sorry?
Lucky.
Yes. Oh, I didn't think about that. That's excellent. Lucky to have made it so far and to have some time on our hands. Anything
relaxed.
Else? Sorry?
Relaxed.
Relaxed. So, okay. Sorry?
Know what they want.
Yes. Very
freedom.
Good. Freedom. Very, very good descriptions all. But nobody said the word that was very prominent in the reading that Mary did, which is wise. That was the first thing that I put down. It was wise. And somebody said know what they want, and I wrote knowing what's important. Set in their ways. Patient. This is just generally what sometimes people think, that we are more patient than, let's say, a 20-something-year-old or 30-something running their kids off somewhere. Rigid. Generous. Conservative. And in some cases, slow drivers. Especially on Sunday. Speaking about knowing what's important, this I thought of something about me that illustrated how much time we waste in our youth on things that are truly, that prove to be totally unimportant. And this story has stayed with me for so many years. When I was about 26 or so and newly married, we were going out somewhere. The sad part is I don't remember whether we were going for dinner by ourselves or to a party or to visit friends. No idea what the outing was. All I remember was our first small fight was because I wouldn't leave the house without every hair being in the perfect place. And I had hair down to here, so it was kind of hard. And I have very thick hair, so it's very hard to get every single hair in place. And I'm sure it looked lovely, but to me, all I could see was this one errant hair that's just not quite right. And I took so long, and we were going to be late. And Dave got mad at me, and he said, "Come on, you look fine, let's go." And you know something? All these years later, over 35 years later, all I remember is that incident. Shouldn't I be remembering which friends we visited, or the nice dinner we had, or the conversation, or the outing? I remember nothing of that. Just this small fight over my silly compulsion to get my hair perfect. Now, some days I don't even remember to comb it properly. I wash my hair, I towel dry it. If it's winter, I'll use the hair dryer a bit just so I don't go out and feel chilly with wet hair. And then I sometimes remember to comb it, sometimes not, and I'm perfectly happy with it. And why did I waste so many years? If you count, maybe it is years. If you count a half hour here and an hour there that many of us, especially women, have spent on our hair since age 12 or whatever, it's actually, I mean, you could have probably traveled the world in that time if you count the total. So this is the thing about age. There is wisdom. And as somebody said, I think it was Chris, there's freedom in more ways than one. Not just because you're not responsible for little kids and for many of us not responsible for a job anymore. So there's a sense of freedom sometimes from these things we impose on ourselves that really were not so important overall. When I was living on my own the first time, I was 22, and my God, everything had to be perfect. And then when I had kids, I had to really, really work hard to step over the Legos in order to make sure that my kids picked up their own toys. Because otherwise, I knew I was going to be picking up after them till they're 20 years old. So my nature was such that I wanted that perfect-looking rug with nothing on it. And it almost hurt to look at it and just step over it and say, "Richard or Michelle, come and clean up after yourselves." So at least I learned early enough. I knew some mothers who were still picking up after their kids and making their lunches when they were 17 years old. And I was determined that that wasn't going to happen. So wisdom, we associate it with older, more mature, seniors, whatever you want to call us. So how often do we associate teenagers with wisdom? Generally not very often. But I can give you a personal example of a situation where a teenager acted with wisdom beyond his years. When my son Richard was in grade 9 at Nelson High School, he brought home the form to sign up for grade 10 classes. I'm sure the parents in the audience know that it was when they had a choice, they had to pick a few courses and then get their parents' permission before they signed up. I went over his selections and found them quite sensible. He was in French immersion, so there weren't really many choices at that grade level. You had to take history in French. You couldn't choose from four different history courses that were offered in English, so there's only one course, as an example. So I signed the form and I told him I had a question. Richard, here you are almost in grade 10, and many of your friends from Pineland have dropped out of French immersion. You have said more than once that you didn't like French, but you didn't once mention wanting to switch to the English program. Why is that? And his answer was, and this is word for word because I'll never forget this. He said, "Mom, if two people applied for a job and one of them could speak French but the other couldn't, all else being equal, who would get the job?" I looked at him with a big smile and said, "Richard, please continue being a wise teenager." At the time, I didn't tell him that I was quite impressed with his use of the phrase, "all else being equal," my favorite phrase from math class. I was just so happy that he was not thinking of ditching the French immersion program. And how often do we associate people in their late 50s with outbursts of playfulness? I can give you an example of a situation where Steve and I had fun in a children's playground of all places. My dear husband has many fine qualities, but no one who knows him well would consider him playful. I may be a bit more inclined to be playful, but is definitely not one of my strong attributes. We were in Florida one November when the Gulf Coast was still suffering from the after effects of a hurricane. So the weather was cool and the skies were cloudy. We decided that walking on the beach with long pants and jackets had lost its charm, so we headed to a state park in Sarasota that was a bit inland, hoping for sun and warmth, which we found. We went for long walks, enjoying t-shirt weather, then came to an area with a playground. Being a weekday in November, there were no school-aged children there, and at the moment, there were no parents with young children either. We seemed to have the place to ourselves. I had not spent time at a playground since my own children were young, and I realized that I missed the simple pleasure of sitting on a swing and trying to go as high as I could. Didn't take much to convince Steve to join me on the next swing, and we had a lot of fun with this childish activity. I couldn't get Steve to go on the slide, but I had to try it after all these years. If my children cooperate and I'm lucky enough to have grandchildren, I intend to take them to the playground so that we, not just they, can play our hearts out. I think I would like to do that around here, but I'm always afraid if the two of us showed up that somebody would call the police. Those weirdos there to abduct children or some such thing. When are we too old to do something? There are times when we have limitations, physical limitations, that prevent us from pursuing certain activities. But I don't want my age to be the only reason not to do something. I joined a new soccer league this year and was happy to find out that there was no upper age limit, just a minimum age of 24. In fact, I'm not the oldest person there, which feels really good that there are other women out there who don't let the idea of being 60-something stop them. The only difference is I started at 52, so I know nothing, while the others are quite proficient. I was playing bridge one afternoon here at Appleby and got into conversation with a bright, energetic woman at my table. She mentioned that she would have liked to study French, but she wasn't going to do so at this stage. And I asked what was stopping her. And she said, "I am 83 years old." So I asked why that would stop her, why she wouldn't do something that would give her some pleasure and satisfaction. And she kept saying, "I am 83 years old." This, in my opinion, is a perfect example of when someone should not act their age. Now, had she said that she always wanted to try bungee jumping, but it was a little late, I could understand. But there's no rule that says you can't learn a language beyond a certain age. It may not come as easily to an 80-year-old as to an 8-year-old, but the love of learning and sense of accomplishment is likely to be much higher for the 80-year-old. It is so gratifying to read articles about seniors graduating from university in their 70s, 80s, and sometimes 90s. I was quite inspired by an article about an 84-year-old woman who is still active in javelin competitions. What struck me as amazing was that she took it up at age 65. Wow. She was not an Olympic athlete, just an active woman who took on a new challenge. It seems like you can teach an old dog new tricks. Should you act your age? How about acting our age when doing so? By doing so, we are living the positive attributes of our age group. Let's act our age by being wise, for example, not by being rigid and set in our ways necessarily. In my professional life, I have seen some 50-somethings take on way too much debt to keep up with the Joneses or with some ideal lifestyle they envisioned. They may have ended up with a beautifully renovated house or two very fancy cars, but the financial stress affected their well-being for years. Were their actions mature, sensible, and responsible? I think not. I wish they had acted their age. How about us seniors? Wisdom, patience, generosity. By all means, let's act our age. But maybe we shouldn't always act our age when it comes to being conservative, rigid, and set in our ways. There are times when we need to embrace new ideas and learn new things. There are times to face the universe with a sense of awe, just like many children do. To live and let live, like most 20-somethings seem to be good at. In this life God has given us, there is much joy to be had. It is not always easy to find this joy, but it is there in every stage of life. The so-called golden age may not always be golden, but if your motto is, old age sucks, please stop acting your age. Thank you. Our next hymn is Voices United, number 675, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Savior's love.
will surely hold in the straits of This is the time to share our blessings with others, offering. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the life that you give us, which is full of joy in every stage of life. Help us to realize how lucky we are, whether we are 20-something or 80-something. Help us to act our age when it makes sense, and to not act our age when by doing so we open ourselves to the joys of other age groups. Help us seniors to stay wise, but be open-minded, to stay generous, but be open to playfulness and awe and the ability to be curious and inquisitive and not just think it's too late to learn new things. Please be with us as we tackle your world, which has an enormous space of change that is sometimes difficult to deal with. Please help us on a day-to-day basis and be with us while we struggle through any things that are not joyful in life. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn, which in itself is like a prayer, is Voices United 238, How Great Thou Art.
Sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. find joy in every day, and act your age or not.
Join us for lemonade on the lawn.